We have been away. We have been where waters run and paths climb hills, past golden fields where eagles soar and cattle stand in silhouette against red and purple sunsets. We have been where carefree days follow one another, dewdrops along a spider's strand. The being away was very good, but it's now time for us to return. Find what we cannot find alone. Safety, warmth, acceptance. Do what we cannot do by ourselves. Build, sing, hold, worship, affirm challenges, sorrows, tasks, joy, not ours only. Time now to return where truth acknowledged we have never left. Home. Each week we bring a spark of the light that burns within each of us to kindle a common flame. As our chalice is lit by the Stadolnik family, please join in the unison words of chalice lighting found in your order of service. In a house which becomes a home, one hands down and another takes up the heritage of mind and heart, laughter and tears, musing and deeds. We light this chalice for all the generations who have found and those who will find a home within these walls. The light we kindle must not stay within these walls. As it's written in many of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, even the non-canonical Gospel of Thomas, these words, "No one lights a lamp and hides it under a bushel basket, but instead puts it on a lampstand for all to see." That is what we're called to do. We're called to let our light, the light of this community, shine as a beacon of hope, of love, of justice, of peace, for all to see. Welcome home. Now, I mean that to apply to everyone, not just those who have been coming for so many years that you're now part of the woodwork. I mean it to apply to everyone gathered here this morning, even and especially if it's your first time with us. The message this church publishes to the greater community could be simply stated as, come home. This is a spiritual call to come home, and it's just as relevant, perhaps even more relevant, to those who have only gathered with us a few times, or even to those who are with us for the very first time. To come home, to feel at home, can have a lot of different meanings. And of course, there's the obvious meaning of returning to that house or apartment that you live in. Or maybe you still think of the house in which you grew up as home. So coming home means returning to your roots. But from a different perspective, often the religious journey is described as a journey home, a journey to a place where you belong. You know, in the great story of the book of Exodus, the Hebrew people wander for 40 years in the desert in search of what? In search of their home. In the Psalms, one way of describing the holy, the sacred itself, is as a dwelling place. More than once, I've sat with a dying person who got great peace from the feeling that he was going home. But that's not really what I'm talking about this morning when I say to you, welcome home. In those beautiful words that you just heard the choir sing, words from the poet Michael Dennis Brown, he acknowledges that he has wandered and asks, where is the road that will lead me home? Have you wandered, asking yourself, is there a place? Is there a place where I or we or my family, as we are, can call home? A place where I can really be myself, where I feel comfortable. I have And I know that finding that place is important. In fact, it's more than important. It is profound. It is life-saving. As that poet writes, there is no such beauty as where you belong. This morning, I'm suggesting to you that the road you can call your own, the road that will lead you home, is right here. And we walk it together, week after week. You know, there is a lot of homelessness in the world, and I'm not talking about the plight of the poor who live in the streets or shelters. That, of course, is a hugely important topic for our faith to address, but it's a sermon not for In-Gathering Sunday, but for another Sunday. There is a different kind of homelessness that even the people who live in fine houses all around us may be experiencing. You know, there's an awful lot of people who are spiritually homeless, theologically homeless, religiously homeless. The world is a very restless place. As a society, we are more mobile than we've ever been in history. Work in particular requires people to move often, and few of us live in the context of a multi-generational family or stay anywhere near to the community where we were raised. You know, I find when I ask people the question, where are you from, or perhaps, where do you call home, the answers come back very long and entangled. The replies go something like this. Well, when I was a young child, my family lived in Town A, and we moved several times because of my dad's job. And then my parents were divorced, and my mother moved with us to City B, but we spent school vacations and summer with my dad in C. And then we went away to college to D and got a job there, but I was transferred, and I went to E, where I met my partner, who was from F, and then my partner's job brought us to G, and it goes on, maybe through the whole alphabet. There is no geographic center to these lives. There is no geographic place to truly call home. Author Scott Sanders, in his book, Making a Home in a Restless World, writes, I cannot have a spiritual center without having a geographical one. I cannot live a grounded life without being grounded in a place. He suggests there are real consequences if we don't have an actual place to call home. You know, gathering as we do on this historic site, in this historic building, gives me a real sense of being grounded in a place. Over the years, we all share a great deal here. Our children are dedicated here. Marriages take place here. We remember and mourn our dead here. And with each of these events, this place takes on more of the feel of home. But it's far more than geographic location or a building that's required to create a spiritual home. Our spirits are restless in many ways, and we yearn to come home to much, much more than just a place. As important as geography may be, the home we each make is really defined by the company we keep, by the people with whom we make our home. In The Death of the Hired Man, Robert Frost defined home as the place where when you have to go there, they have to take you in. I think that's pretty much the very minimal definition of what home is. But it's not enough for a spiritual home. So I'd like to change the have-tos to want-tos in Frost's definition. So, Mr. Frost, if you'll forgive me for tampering with your poetry, home is the place where when you want to go there, they want to take you in. It's that kind of acceptance of you for who you are that makes our church a home. Perhaps you recall the stories from the Christian Gospel of Luke of the prodigal son. You know, one son stays at home, does everything the father wants. The other takes his share of inheritance, takes off, and does everything the father didn't want him to do. Lost all the money, and he begs to come back as just a servant to work in that household. Instead, he was accepted back into his family with great celebration, regardless of the hurt he had caused and the mistakes he had made. In a religious journey home, we are accepted for who we are, with all our issues and our weaknesses. But more than just acceptance is required for a church to be a home. You know, we're a socially conscious and active church. We do the work of love and justice together. That's certainly part of our religious calling. But there's something much more simple and fundamental that's at the heart of why a church like this one can be a home for us. We all know that home is where you feel comfortable. Now, perhaps describing personal comfort as one of the most important reasons to belong to a church may sound a little bit too self-indulgent for some. After all, we are not first and foremost a bunch of comfort seekers, are we? We unite around a set of high principles and try to live meaningful lives helping others and doing that work of love and justice. But don't dismiss the importance of comfort too quickly. The Reverend Jane Jepka put it this way: our Unitarian Universalist religion is about a great many things: challenge, strength, hope, community, inspiration, good works, cutting-edge theology. And it's also about comfort and well-being that is fortifying and healing, especially at times of loss, of struggle, of questioning, of loneliness. That aspect of home as a place where you receive comfort, where you are comfortable, is essential. And you can find that here. There's a third component that makes this church a home. Here in this faith tradition, we encourage your self-actualization. Just as good parents at home with their family encourage their children to explore new thoughts and ideas and to become who they are, so does this church. Community is critical to us, but so is the development of self. Among the lessons this religious tradition has learned is that we only develop our self-understanding fully when the collective intensity of a society and the nurturing non-judgmental environment of a home are present. We strive to give you both here within these walls each week. We want you here for who you are, continuing to discover your gifts and talents and beliefs, and not for who we can shape you into. For self-development, a home like a church is critical. As Judith Wright said in that quotation I placed on the front of your order of service, it is the experience of being at home or not, of being able to go home or not, that sustains the sense of self or begins to shatter it. A church that is a real home helps us to sustain our sense of self. Now, sadly, not all churches can be a home. Some may offer comfort, but little acceptance of you if you are different, different race or class or sexual orientation from most of the members. Others may accept you as you are, but feed you a strict regimen of what you and your children must believe. In that kind of church, there is no opportunity for self-actualization, no opportunity to explore what you truly believe. I know the experience of saying to myself, I cannot really belong to a particular church. I cannot be myself there. I cannot make my home there. I cannot be comfortable there, because if they really knew who I was, they would not want me. It may be the church you grew up in. You may be attached to it in many ways, but it just can't be your home. I know that many of you have had this kind of experience, and I know it can be a real struggle to find a religious home. And yes, there are many who give up on that struggle. They say, I don't need a church at all to find the things you describe. I can be grounded and self-actualized, accepted and comforted without a church. I can raise my children and mourn my dead and celebrate the joys of life without a religious community. Religion, as they say, is just a crutch. You know, there was a time when that statement might have angered me, but Now I respond to it a bit differently. You know, perhaps in some ways, religion is a crutch. But a crutch is not a bad thing. It is what holds you up when you cannot do it yourself. Please understand that I believe our faith tradition is much more than just a crutch. And now I reply to those who make that argument this way. Perhaps religion is a crutch, but it's one of the best crutches that I know about. And then I ask them, and what crutch do you use? You know, sometime everybody uses a crutch. Finally, as every homeowner or homemaker knows, to keep the home strong and safe, to maintain it as a nurturing place requires commitment and work. Every home, including this church home, can always use more love and care. What makes this house strong is not that it was once and for all made perfectly, but that those who call the place home are continually striving to make it a better place. One of my favorite poets, Wendell Berry, wrote, "The house is a shambles unless the vision of its perfection upholds it like a stone." With all that's going on right now with our wonderful capital improvements project, we physically see this vision of perfection holding it up in a very tangible way. But our house, our religious home, is upheld by our vision of a better and more just world, a more loving and compassionate community, and the desire to reach out and welcome all who are searching to belong to a community of both acceptance and challenges. We're not a perfect church, but I believe we are a strong church, in large part because we strive to build and rebuild a church that so many can call home. This Sunday's worship, and really every Sunday, is an invitation to come home. Each week, you're invited to go with us to this special place, a place where your freedom to believe as you choose is honored, a place where you can be who you are, a place where you are nurtured and you have the opportunity to nurture others, a place where you can celebrate life with singing and laughter and friendship, a place where you're reminded of the values that are important for a good life and challenged to be the best you can be, a place which enlivens the spirit within you. Isn't that just what should happen in every good home? So I invite you on this ingathering Sunday, whether you're a lifelong member of this church attending every week, or whether you've been away for a while, or whether this is your first Sunday with us, to recognize that yearning, that pull of the Spirit that is in all of us, that pull to come home to a place where we find acceptance and comfort, a place to both build community and to sustain the self. My message to you is simple. Recognize how, in so many ways, this place can be a home for you. And then again and again, week after week, come home. Back to the words of that beautiful poem saying, where's the road that you can call your own that will lead you home? It's right here. ¶¶